Running around from store to store can be a daunting task for any parent, even a tiger mom. That's why you can save time and money by shopping on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast when you start your shopping with our link, robisawebsite.com/Amazon. Or for our friends in Canada, it's robisawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here to do another Survivor exit interview, this time after episode number 4 of The Millennials versus the Gen Xers. And today we're going to be speaking with the latest person voted out of the tribe. That would be Lucy Wang to join us and talk through everything from last night's episode. So excited to talk to Lucy after her big breakout episode. Unfortunately, it was also her last Survivor episode. So lots of questions that come out of the Gen X tribe from last night's show. So that's coming up here in a bit. Then I'll play the This Week in Survivor History quiz once again with Jordan Kalish to try to extend my winning streak for another week. Last night on Survivor Know-It-All, Stephen Fishback and I debated whether, and we were actually kind of in agreement on this, that we did not like this move for David. We only debated on who made the worst moves last night in terms of what happened in the Gen X tribe. So a lot of stuff to talk through. And then coming up today on the podcast, I'm going to be speaking with Randy Bailey on the Survivor recap. Look forward to having Randy back on. It's been about a year since we talked with Randy on the podcast, so that should be eventful as usual. And then Miles Nye is coming in to do the Survivor voicemails. Have had Miles on the podcast a few times before. First time we're doing the voicemails, and he's going to be in studio for that. So looking forward to a busy day here on the podcast. So hope you can subscribe and check those shows out later or catch them on robhasawebsite.com. All right, looks like we have Lucy here on the line with us. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Lucy, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, very good. So nice to hear from you on the show and on the phone here today this morning, Lucy. But I wish it was under better circumstances.
I know. I got gypped. What can you say?
Lucy, all right. So let's get into this because now we have so many questions that we have for you. So, and Lucy, just for the record, feel free. You can be as blunt as you want with me.
Okay, awesome. You can handle it?
I can handle it. I'm ready.
Okay. You don't need the please and thank yous. Okay.
That's fine. That's optional. So let's get into this, Lucy. So I want to know from you, first of all, so after the vote with Paul, was there immediately regret on your part? You talked about it. You compared it to it's almost like being, cheating on a significant other. It sounds like that there was some regret in terms of that decision.
I mean, the only regret that I have with that decision was the fact that I know Chris and Brett were really upset. And the point was not discussing it with them. You know, they felt betrayed, and especially Chris, because me and Chris had a good bond. You know, I was like the island wife of like Chris and Ken. Actually, I had two husbands. You know, and they just felt betrayed. Not that they wouldn't have agreed, but they felt like, okay, how come nobody asked? How come nobody communicated? And I felt so bad. Like that was the one time that I felt like this guy actually takes care of us. You know, he did a lot. Chris has like a huge heart. He took care of us, you know, with food or shelter, all that stuff. And, you know, it's basically like he got betrayed and nobody was basically man enough to talk to them about it and to even ask them their opinion or they basically got blindsided.
Now, you talked about that Jessica was the mastermind behind this idea to vote out Paul, and you felt like she put this idea in your head and that she was power hungry. Did you really feel like that Jessica was a power hungry player? And are there any other examples of power hungry things she did?
Yeah, I mean, she's the one that planted the, even though I would have been okay with Paul, I think everybody would be okay with Paul being voted out, but it's just when, you know, when do you do that?
Yeah, you're a grown up that she can't put ideas in your head. Right?
I mean, they can make you feel insecure and paranoid, correct? And so
is that what she did?
Well, she did that with me at some point and with Sunday, because after Paul got voted off, then when he did get voted off, the reason we came to that conclusion was she started planting seeds in our head like, hey, you know that the three girls are the last of the hierarchy, right? We're number 4, 5, and 6, and we see you being number 6. And I was like, what? Like, why are you making me feel insecure at this point? Because it doesn't even matter, because our plan is to make it so far into the swap. So it doesn't matter where you are in the hierarchy. So why are you bringing this up right now? Why are you letting us know that Paul would drop the girls at any given time? And why are you letting us know that we are 4, 5, and 6? That's that information just wasn't pertinent at that point. Yeah. I didn't feel, you know, that's just like saying, okay, you kind of suck and you kind of need me because I'm the leader of the girls.
Now, after watching last week's episode and seeing the conversation that she had with Paul, do you give her the benefit of the doubt now, or do you still feel like she was being manipulative?
I mean, I think that she was being manipulative. She's playing, she has a strategy, right? And she probably did feel like she could sway the girls' votes later on as well.
Then going to the last night's tribal council, did you know that David had an idol?
I mean, there was always assumptions that David had an idol, but I just would not even in any way know that he would use it that mm-hmm. early and for somebody else. Like, who would use it that early? I think America doesn't even know why he did it.
We don't know why he did it. Right.
And it's like, I really wasn't that much of a threat. I was just trying to tell you, hey, this is who everybody's voting for. So let's do it. You know, stay in the game, make it to the swap. You know, like, why at that point are you pulling such a big, like playing such a big hand, you know, on somebody that I'm not even threatening, really? Not mm-hmm. in my eyes, not in my heart, what I was doing
yeah.
at that point. But maybe you guys looking at from, you know, on TV, maybe you saw something, but I didn't.
Yeah, we didn't either. So Lucy, also that Cece voted for you. Were you surprised to have Cece cast a vote against you? What was your relationship like with her?
I just like, I want to kill her. I want to kill her because honestly, like, she felt like the underdog, you know, for so long. And she knew, you know, they knew that they were the bottom three, you know, Ken, Dave and Cece. And the thing is that she would come to me and just say, hey, Lucy, you got my back. I got your back. We got to take care of each other. Seriously. And we had conversations where we're like, okay, we've had girlfriends, you know, like friends that are girls that are like, that burned us, that are so catty, that aren't honest, that are disloyal. And so she literally came, she's like, Lucy, seriously, like, if you hear my name, will you let me know? And, you know, she's like, honestly. And I'm like, yeah, I will. And that's, you know, I think at some point I even told her, hey, we're going to vote this way today. Your name is going to come up, but you're not going to be the majority. It's just going to look, you know, you're just going to have a certain number. And I trusted her in that way where I was telling her. And even at the end, hey, we're going to vote for Jessica because as long as your name's not in it. Because that's the way that she actually communicates with me is as long as her name's not on there, she's not on the chopping block, she's good with it. And so I was shocked because she literally did come to me and say, you got my back, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And so I am a person, like in real life, though, yeah, I've gotten burned many times because I do, I have a great big heart. Like when I take you in, like I take you in completely and I do everything for you. And that's, I felt that that's what we were getting at, but obviously I was bamboozled.
It happens, Lucy. So, did you guys have any conversations as a five who was going to be the next person voted out? Because maybe we could give David the benefit of the doubt if it was going to be him or Cece. Who was next then for the five?
Oh, who was going to be next after?
After Jess.
I mean, originally it would have been, well, I don't know if it would have been Cece. It might have been Dave or Ken, I'm assuming, because Cece, we would think that would have been an easy vote. You know, later on to kind of just carry with us.
Mm-hmm.
And in our mind, we were thinking, okay, she could sway either way, whatever we wanted.
All right. Well, let me ask you about Ken a little bit, because you guys certainly got into it on the show last night. But ultimately, he did come back around and is voting with you guys, even though he was working on this plan to get you voted out. So you called him your island husband or one of your island husbands earlier. So did you guys have a good relationship up until this point?
Oh, yeah, I did. And, you know, basically my role, you know, how you find a role, what you are good at on the island. So I was the one that would be cooking all the time, which they didn't really show, but I cooked for everybody. I would take care of, you know, all the men, especially because I knew they were working hard, like, you know, fetching some food for us. And with Ken, we would always talk a lot also about relationships. And he was the one that would, like, you know, open the coconuts for me to put in the rice or whatnot, you know, so we had this good, like, family thing going. And, you know, unfortunately, but I should have caught on to some of the cues from him of how he wanted to be spoken to or how he likes to be spoken to, which is with the, you know, please and thank yous And, you know, like an example I could give is when I would need coconut for the rice, I would just say, hey, Ken, can you get the coconut for the rice? And then he would say, you mean, hey, Ken, could you please get the coconut for me? And could you open it for me? Thank you. You know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. So at that point, maybe those are the cues that I should have just kind of grasped onto, because I am blunt and I'm just, you know, most of my friends have always been male. So I've just been able to just, you know, speak my mind and not have to really mind my manners, in, so to speak. But I'm not mean. Mm-hmm. I'm not an angry person. I'm just direct, and I'm a more factual person. Like, okay, these are things we need to know. What do we need to do? And, you know, I don't want all that emotions tied to it. And yeah. Maybe it's because of my upbringing too, you know, as an Asian person, you know, Chinese person, you know, people say the stereotype is that we tend to keep our emotions, you know, bottled up. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of just who I am. But obviously I've grown from it. I learned from it.
Yeah.
As well. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that now you are trying to say please and thank you more to other people? Or do you think that it's just a case of that you're not having any issues in your real life with this?
Well, no, I definitely have grown, you know, from doing the show too, which is, yeah, I realize, you know, you have to just remember who you're speaking to at all times. Not everybody. You can't speak to everybody the same way. And, but also the fact that most men still don't want like that bossy, you know, female. There's still that place for a man and a female, you know, I guess it's not 50-50, you know, anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really where, you know, like a wife is a wife. And even though I work and I do all these things, I still need to treat my husband as, you know, the head of the house. And for a long time, I was trying to be the head of the house, you know, in my home. And that's one of the things that I apologized to Ken prior to Tribal that they didn't show, is that I actually went up to him and I apologized for the way that I spoke to him.
Yeah.
And that I should have been more sensitive to his needs. And that, you know, in my real life, I compared it to, like, I'm the one that's always like, do this, do that. And I'm very intense. And so coming back, I actually became more sensitive to that. And actually, you know, my relationship with my husband and my kids are actually that much better because of my experience.
And it's a complicated issue too, because there's no one size fits all with how to talk with a man, with a woman, with a husband, with a wife, with someone who has an Asian upbringing, who doesn't have that upbringing. So it really is a matter of, you know, your mileage may vary in all these different conversations. I don't want to say that there's one way that's the right or wrong way to talk to anybody.
Yeah, but that's why the show is a social show, right? You have to, like, really observe and be able to say, okay, who can I talk to a certain way? Even in real life, right? It's like, okay, you have friends that you can be completely blunt with. You have friends that you have to be kind of like, oh, okay, you're doing well. Don't worry about it. You have others that you're like, just get over it. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know? So, but you have to know who you're speaking to, and you can't speak to everybody the same way. And it's just like having children. You know, I have four children. So each one of my kids is different. You know, one can handle me, you know, being mm-hmm. kind of like, what the hell are you doing, right? But my other one is kind of like, oh, honey,
yeah,
you know, let's take care of you. So it's all different. And I just have to realize that. But, you know, being on the show on an island, you're so much paranoia and you're hungry and you're tired. And I'm like, come on.
Lucy, on a much less serious note, I want to ask you about the reward challenge that you were a part of, where you were in that round of play in the ocean when you were going up against Michaela, when she decided to take her top off and quote unquote, show her tatas to everybody.
Yeah.
Now, was the bathing suit holding her back in any way? Was that something that was coming up where were you like grabbing and holding her by her bathing suit that she needed to take her top off?
No, the bathing suit, basically I had grabbed onto because, well, you saw the two girls. I was trying to hold on to them. And then at some point, you know, the only thing I could grab onto as she was slipping away was her bathing suit. So I think as she tried to escape more, the bathing suit just came right off as she swam away from me. And so I think that it was more of the bathing suit wasn't securely on.
Yeah. So she didn't want to have to keep thinking about it.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it held her back a little bit, but that girl is strong. I mean, that girl kicked ass. She's, you know.
Yeah.
What can you say about Michaela?
I don't know. And last thing, Lucy, that were you upset or did you embrace the fan reaction to the first couple of weeks when people were looking for you so hard on the episodes?
I kind of embraced it. I felt like, okay, I'm going to be that quiet one. And then all of a sudden I'm going to come out like a crazy person. And, you know, so I was afraid about yesterday's episode. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to have me come out. I'm like the biggest bitch in the world. But I think that what they did was, you know, I mean, I did talk, you know, during that time, but I think they painted a good picture of how I am more of like that introvert person when I first meet somebody or I'm in a group, especially like in a group setting, I'm more quiet. I'm more of the observer. I have to kind of strategize and see who's who and what's what before I actually, you know, get to know you or how much I want you to get to know me. And I also already knew that I was probably intimidating just by the way I looked, you know, with my muscles and stuff at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be even more intimidating with my personality.
Okay.
You know, so I was playing that whole, like, okay, I'll take care of the food because they knew I was a mom too, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to be more of that, okay, don't put like a target on your back person, because with my physical appearance, I already knew I was going to be a target.
All right, Lucy, I know you got to run. So thank you so much for coming on. Very nice to chat with you, and all the best, Lucy.
Thank you.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. Lucy Huang here on the podcast. Lucy was so nice to talk to. I'm surprised. I'm disappointed we didn't get to see more Lucy here in the first four episodes. One of the things that I didn't have a chance to talk to her about, I know in her day after video, she talks about how the storm was so hard on her and how she says it was like the worst day of her life when they had the cyclone. I wonder if that was also a factor for her where she just was not as talkative over those first few days of the game because she really had such a hard time dealing with the storm that hit them in that first episode. All right, so let's switch gears. Speaking of people who took their top off in 2016, if you are following the Patron Facebook group, please welcome in the host of This Week in Survivor History, Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, you better put that periscope away. I don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, so we had so much fun in Reno at the Run It Up Reno this summer.
Yes, luckily it was just the back. You didn't have to see any tatas, so that's good.
No. Well, I wasn't down there. That's right. All right, so Jordan, anyway, so excited to get back into this and to keep my winning streak alive here in the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Yeah, you had a perfect week last week. You got 7 points out of a possible seven. You used your advantage. You got all the questions right, so you did really well last week. I think maybe a few stumpers this week, potentially, but let's see how you do.
What about the response from people? Were people impressed with how well I did in the quiz, or was the response the quiz is too easy?
No, people were pretty impressed. They
pretty impressed.
They were fairly impressed. They, you know, a lot of them got a couple questions wrong or one question wrong, so you beat them this week. There were a couple people who did tie you this week and also got a perfect score. One guy said he got the same amount of questions right as you, but he got the questions right faster.
So
he was bragging a little bit, but that's all in good fun. You did a great job last week, and no one on Twitter was able to beat you last week. So that's good news.
That's right. Okay. So we will get back into it once again. Now, did you make the questions harder this week?
I think a couple of them are harder this week. There's definitely a stumper at the end that might be a little bit difficult. But I think they are, we're going to start with a season from a very long time ago that I know isn't one of your favorite seasons. So maybe that could get you.
Okay. As long as it's fair, I don't care if the questions are harder, as long as they're fair.
Oh, they're all fair questions.
All right. So we will get into the This Week in Survivor History quiz once we take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Zip Recruiter, because if you're hiring, you know where to post your job to find the best candidates, because posting your job in one place isn't enough, Jordan, to find the quality candidates, to find all those millennials out there that are looking for work, those Gen Xers that are looking for work too. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. Now you can with ZipRecruiter, because you can post your job to 100 plus job sites. Did you even know there were that many?
I didn't know there were 100+ job sites, but in this day and age, it's always very important to find the best candidates. It's very hard to do.
Yes, it's very important. And then they also get the social media networks like the Facebook and the Twitter all with one single click. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post and watch your qualified candidates roll in with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls in the office. Just quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the person. I would like the part where you rate the candidates.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. And when you were talking about the juggling before, you don't need to be like a Dan Foley when you're looking for new staff.
No, definitely not. He should not be in charge of your hiring. Leave that to ZipRecruiter. Don't have Dan Foley come in and do it.
I'd have to agree there.
So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/first. That's ZipRecruiter.com/first. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. Boy, the Dan Foley hiring manager is like a skit that writes itself.
Yeah, he definitely shouldn't be in charge of the HR department.
Tell me, are you blue collar? Yeah. Okay. So, Jordan, let's start off the quiz this week. Where do you want to go? What's the season that's from a long time ago that I'm not going to want to talk about?
So we're going to go to Survivor Africa. This is October 11th, 2001, 15 years ago this past Tuesday. And this is actually the season premiere of Survivor
Africa. Why do you think
Africa?
I won't want to talk about this?
I don't know, you've never had the greatest things to say about Survivor Africa in the past. I never said you wouldn't want to talk about it. I just said it's a season that's not one of your favorites.
Okay. All right.
You've said that before.
Yeah. It's iconic. It's not my favorite in terms of strategy.
Mm-hmm. Some really fun cast members on that season.
Yes.
So you, of course, these are all going to be 1-point questions. You have the choice to use a point doubler before I read the question. And you can also have a challenge advantage, which is like a 50-50.
Okay.
So before I read question number one, would you like to use your point doubler?
No, I would not.
Okay. Aubrey Bracco may have her famous Oregon Trail quote, but she's not the only player in Survivor history to talk about dysentery.
Okay.
In an extreme case of Survivor foreshadowing, who said, "If you don't boil your water out here, you end up with what they call amoebic dysentery, which basically has you puking and crapping your guts out"? A. Was this said by Jesse Camacho? B. Frank Garrison? C. Lex Vandenberg? D. Carl Balancioni?
Okay, well, I would have to say Lex, since you said that it was foreshadowing and he would come down with that by the end of the season. So I will say Lex.
Very good. Way to use the clues. It was Lex Vandenberg. The trick answer there was Jesse Camacho, who also had some issues out there on the island with her health. But Lex Vandenberg, yes, down the road in the finale, he would be crapping and puking his guts out before.
Yes, thanks for the visual.
And after the yes,
as I have my coffee this morning. Thank you, Jordan.
I'm sorry, I already had my coffee, so I'm all good.
You're
good,
all set. Yes. Yeah.
So you're 1-for-1. Good job. You have 1 point. We are going to go to our next question. Would you like to use your point doubler on our second Survivor Africa question?
No, I would not.
Okay. Diane Ogden, the wily postal worker from Nebraska who follows Survivor to this day, was voted out in this episode. She voted for fellow bean thief Clarence Black. Which one other tri-mate joined her in voting for Clarence? A. Lex. B. Kim Johnson. C. Ethan Zahn. D. Big Tom Buchanan.
I believe it was Big Tom. He did not appreciate that whole cherry eating incident.
No, you are correct. It was Big Tom. Congratulations, you were 2-for-2.
That was like a fake out.
Yeah, no, I was saying he didn't appreciate.
No, he
the
did
cherry,
not.
The cherry
but yes.
incident. No, Big Tom, not a Clarence fan, and in the first three tribal councils that Big Tom went to, he voted for Clarence in all three of them. In the next vote, he also voted for Clarence when the rest of the tribe yeah. did not. And
they
then
forgave
him,
but he said, you still need one more vote for that.
Yeah. Imagine a modern day Survivor with idols and everything, and you have one guy just throwing random votes because of some incident from like day three.
I think he cleared it. I mean, let's not go too far down that rabbit hole, but I think that probably, you know, Lex seems like that he's a guy who wants to know where all the votes are going.
That's true. He definitely had to clear it with Lex, because if not, Lex would have been threatening the whole tribe. Who cast that vote for Clarence? It wasn't supposed to be Clarence.
Right. That's right. He paid his penance. Okay. Yeah. So Jordan, that's it. Cleared the Survivor Africa category. Where you want to go now?
You've cleared Africa. We are going to go just one question. Survivor Cook Islands. This is October 12th, 2006, 10 years ago yesterday.
Okay.
And would you like to use your point doubler for our Cook Islands question?
Boy, no, I would not.
All right. Stephanie Favor was voted out in this episode due to a comment she made about wanting to eat a particular food not found on the island.
Yes.
What was she in the mood for? A, mashed potatoes and gravy. B, shrimp and grits. C, mac and cheese. D, matzo ball soup and gefilte fish.
I know most certainly that she wanted the mashed potatoes. That was what, Stephanie, the only thing that you probably could remember about her thinking back to Survivor Cook Islands. That's what she said she wanted. I believe she might have told Nate that, and then he went back and told the rest of the tribe.
That is completely correct. She did tell Nate, and you are 3 for 3. I actually wrote this question yesterday on Yom Kippur, so I was a little bit hungry, and that's kind of what made me think of the matzo ball soup and gefilte fish that I'd be having later that night. So Yes. That is correct. She wanted the mashed potatoes and gravy. And also, I think you're right about the fact that it's the only thing I remember about Stephanie.
Yeah. I mean, it brought up the interesting conversation. Does I could go for some mashed potatoes right now? Does that equal I want to quit? I want to be
really
voted out.
It really didn't seem like that from the episode. I think she was just talking about food. Plenty of survivors talk about food. Amber and Jerry used to talk about food all the time, but they weren't trying to quit.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we'll see. We'll see. I thought it kind of did mean that she wanted to go home, but then she didn't really want it. And ultimately, she thought better of it.
Maybe. Well, it's kind of hard to read. I don't think when she was saying that to Nate, though, she was implying that I don't want to be here anymore. She probably was just in the mood for mashed potatoes.
Let's not spend any more time talking about this.
Is Stephanie Favor know-it-all? Not a good podcast?
Do me a Stephanie Favor. Let's move on.
Right. We're going to go to Survivor Gabon for two questions. And you were 3 for 3, by the way. We're going to go to Survivor Gabon.
You're picking all my favorites today, Jordan.
Yeah. And this one might be a little bit tougher. This is
in honor of Randy coming to the podcast.
Exactly. This is October 9th, 2008, 8 years ago this past Sunday. Would you like to use your point doubler for this question?
So there's only two questions left?
There's three questions left.
Three questions left, and they're all about Survivor Gabon.
No, there's two about Survivor Gabon, and then one is a question about various seasons.
Okay, all right. So go ahead. Let's just keep going. No point doubler yet.
All right. In the second tribe swap of the season, contestants were ranked from most important to least important to their respective tribes. Marcus and Maddie were each ranked as most important, but which two contestants were ranked as least important? A, Sugar Kuiper and Susie Smith. B, Sugar Kuiper and GC Brown. C, Kelly Czarnecki and GC Brown. D, Kelly Czarnecki and Susie Smith.
Boy, I remember they were standing on those ladders and stuff like that, like those pedestals. I don't remember the order. I will go with Kelly and Susie. D.
Kelly and Susie, is that your final answer?
Yes.
Rob, you are 4 for 4. Congratulations.
All right.
And that actually means you win the game. You need four points to win the game. So you have won again. I obviously need to make these questions harder. Your evolution of strategy. A couple of years ago, I remember when I would bring up a season like Gabon or like a Guatemala or something. You had no idea what I was talking about in some of these details. But now I need to really think about these questions.
I take my job very seriously. And the time that this was sort of a hobby, and then as it became more and more encompassing of my life, it was very important for me to know all this stuff.
You're a hard-working Gen
Xer. You don't get to become the Doris Kearns Goodwin of Survivor just like that.
I don't know who that is. Is that a Gen X thing? Do millennials know who she is?
I think it might be a baby boomer thing.
I'll call my mom after this and see if she knows who she is.
See if she knows.
Yeah. Well, let me put on my schedule just to text her after we record this.
Yes, go ahead.
All right, so we're talking Doris Kearns Goodwin, Stephanie Favor, some of the greats in Survivor history here. Would you like to use your point doubler on the next Gabon question?
I would not.
In the Water Lacrosse Immunity Challenge,
yes,
who scored all of COTA's goals leading them to victory over Font? A, Marcus Lehman. B, Randy Bailey. C, Corinne Kaplan. D, Dan, Every Kiss Begins With K.
It was Randy. I mean, Randy was actually kind of a challenge beast at points during Survivor Gabon, and especially in the pre-merge. He was very valuable in all the challenges.
He was, surprisingly so. Randy Bailey, that is correct. He did get those three goals in the lacrosse challenge. Little known fact about Jordan Kalish here. I actually teach lacrosse to kids. So very, very interesting challenge for me. It was a fun one to watch. Not as fun as the ring challenge from last night in Survivor Millennials versus Gen
Easy,
X.
Easy, Millennial Jordan.
It's a good challenge, but that ring challenge was just so much fun to watch.
All right. It's early.
It is. And you are 5 for 5. It is not early in the quiz. We're on our last question, and we're going to span the seasons. This question comes to you from Nick Fishman.
Wow. Can we just marvel at what is this, this streak that I've put together, and how many questions in a row is this going back to last week?
At least 11.
Wow.
You got 6 right last week and 5 right this week. I couldn't tell you 2 years ago if you got the last question of that. Two weeks ago, if you got the last question of that quiz right, but maybe you did. So it's at least 11. If you're a diehard fan, you could go back into the archives and figure that out.
Wow.
Soon we'll be getting advanced stats from you. The baseball reference people are going to put together a This Week in Survivor history reference.
What seasons I really have down cold.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it looks like Gabon is one of them.
Okay.
But we are going to span the seasons. Again, Nick Fishman, my brochacho, came up with this question. You might as well use the point doubler. It's your last question. You haven't used it yet. You haven't even used your challenge advantage yet.
Oh, can I use both? Am I disqualified from using the point doubler if I want to use my 50-50?
You can use both.
Okay. All right.
It's in the rules.
Go ahead. Double it.
What disgusting event occurred this week in Survivor history?
Oh, boy.
A, Survivor Marquesas. Bust and Rob can't keep down his Fafaru. Survivor Cambodia. Jeremy takes a celebratory bite of balut. C, Survivor South Pacific. Upolo wins the chewed meat that they had to bite off a large roasted pork during the immunity challenge. Or D, Survivor San Juan del Sur. Wes suffers from taco overload.
Okay.
Are you going to use the 50-50?
I don't think I need to, but there's probably no honor in that. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but at least sure, do the 50-50.
All right. And that would be like the thing. If you got it wrong, it would be like the thing at the final five where you want to take the immunity necklace.
No, I'm not going to go home with the necklace.
I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So I am going to take away Survivor Marquesas. Boston Rob can't keep down to Fafaru. That's not even a fall season.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take away Taco Overload from West and Survivor San Juan del Sur, which was much later in the season.
Yeah. Okay. So you sort of took out the two most obvious ones that I knew definitely were not right. So what is it again? So just it's
Survivor Cambodia. Jeremy takes a celebratory bite of balut. C, Survivor South Pacific. Upolu wins the chewed meat that they had to bite off a large roasted pork during the immunity challenge.
Boy. So the Jeremy thing, I know that is taking place in the 6th episode, and that's the episode when they switch back from 3 tribes to 2 tribes and they have the gross food competition. I don't remember where the South Pacific thing is, but I do remember at least when last season started. I can't imagine that, unless you're going to do something like, oh, well, this is the second week of October, and then it's like that was on October 18th. I'm sure if I thought hard enough about it, I could think about what Survivor episode was on around my birthday last year. But I'll just go ahead and spare everybody the pain of me overthinking this, and I will just say South Pacific.
Rob, you have another perfect score. Congratulations. I thought that was going to be the stumper question. I didn't think you were going to get that. But you are 7 for 6 again. That's 14 points out of a possible 12 in the last 2 weeks, which is insane. And I need to think about these questions when I'm making them. I need to go to professional question askers like Ken Bone and, you know, get a red sweater and a mustache, and maybe I'll come up with some better questions for you.
My brain is weirdly wired where I feel like that. I'm good at remembering like where I was and what I was doing when certain things were happening. There's a lot of other things I'm bad at, but that happens to be something that I'm sort of very much in touch with.
Yeah. And that challenge was really disgusting. I mean, you guys had a similar challenge in the Amazon, but when I remember watching both, and I think there's just the HD on Survivor South Pacific. And also you just got a lot more of the sound of them spitting the meat into that bowl. Really, really nasty stuff.
Sure.
Upolu wins and they get to keep their disgusting meat from that challenge. Really terrible, like really great. Some of the best out of context, inappropriate Jeff Probst comments in that episode too. And I'm not going to mention them, but if you want to go back, there's a YouTube video.
Okay, good stuff. All right. The great Jordan Kalish is on Twitter, at Jordan Kalish. He does accept suggestions for questions and much more. And lacrosse lessons, right?
Yep, lacrosse questions, taking my shirt off on Periscope. I do all of these things, Rob.
All right, at Jordan Kalish. Jordan, thanks again, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and tweet out hashtag either Rob beat me. You can't tweet out hashtag I beat Rob or I tied Rob if you
tied Rob
score as well.
All right, take care, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Jordan Kalish and this week in Survivor history. So here's what's going to happen next. I've got to go and get set. Busy Thursday coming up. Randy Bailey and then also voicemails with Miles Nye here in the studio. So excited for all of that. So make sure you don't miss any of the podcasts when you subscribe. robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Then on Friday, we will get back into our BBOTT coverage as well. If you've been watching that, lots of fun stuff happening on the OTT. Join us on Friday evening for that. And of course, Jordan Parhar had his coverage last night as well. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on robiswebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.